We believe that Wi-Fi is and will continue to be the predominant way in which people will connect and consume applications, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
All right. Hey, this is Martha DeGrasse here again for the Wi-Fi Alliance, and this is The Signal, our podcast where we bring you the inside track on Wi-Fi. These are meant to be smart conversations with industry leaders, and today we are thrilled to welcome Nabil Buhari. He is CTO of Extreme Networks. Nabil, welcome back to The Signal.
Martha, thank you so much for having me here again. It was awesome last time, and I'm looking forward to this conversation as well.
Yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to focus on Wi-Fi 7 and use cases across industries. Now, last time you were here, we were at CES. That was CES 2023. This year at CES 2024, I think you hosted a panel on Wi-Fi 7 for enabling workforces that are dispersed. So give us a little bit of an insight on what you talked about in that panel.
Yeah, Martha, it was a very enlightening panel. We had a bunch of really key leaders from the industry who are all very forward-looking. And the topic went something like this, and the conversation went something like this. It was like, look, after the pandemic, the way people work has changed. And yes, there is this seemingly debate in the industry or out in the public, if you would, that whether people should come back into the offices or not. But regardless, most of the companies realize that the workforce is going to be hybrid in nature. So some people will work at offices, some at home, or the same people sometimes in offices, sometimes at home. And with that consensus, the idea was, well, how do you unify the experience between being in an office and being at home? And the consensus also was that, look, it's really about collaboration. It is the quality of the collaboration. Sometimes phone calls are just not enough, or sometimes just sitting on Zoom is not enough. We need to add more collaboration tools for that. Either you're doing a whiteboard together, or you know, you're sharing and co-developing something, or working on a file or PowerPoint or what have you together. And then being able to add more than just audio visual, right? So think like more AR technologies and VR technologies, looking a little bit forward out there. But the key connecting point between all of them was that they all need to be on the network. And now we are not just talking about the network in the office, but we are talking about networks at people's homes or in other locations. And look, when we say network for connecting people and devices, we really are talking about Wi-Fi. At this point in time, people, like what the stat is, like 80% of the people in enterprises, they connect through Wi-Fi. So I would translate that as, how does Wi-Fi enable that collaboration in a hybrid environment? And that brings us down to, you know, the same old thing of like, okay, is there enough bandwidth available? Is it enough reliability that is there? If something goes wrong, can your IT team actually go fix it? Do they have proactive tools to fix it? But now this time, it's not just about in the building, in the office, but even at people's homes as well. And then can you secure it, right? Which is the age-old question. And that was the consensus that, look, in order to really evolve this hybrid workplace, we're going to rely a lot on all of these features that are really provided by Wi-Fi. And it was a mind-blowing conversation because it really opened up the eyes on how much we depend on Wi-Fi and how much Wi-Fi is going to shape the future of this hybrid workforce. So it was a good panel.
So what was mind-blowing? What can companies do if their best worker happens to have like terrible Wi-Fi at their house?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And this happens, by the way, quite a bit, more so than we would like to believe. So I think there were talks about like, okay, so there is the consumer grade Wi-Fi and then there's the enterprise grade Wi-Fi. Now, obviously the underlying technology is the same, but all of the tools that are available around that and perhaps the way they're used is a little bit of different. And there was this conversation around like, well, how does enterprise Wi-Fi go from an office building into the house? Now, most of that is economics behind the scene, that what's the economics of that. But I know there are companies out there that are actually sending APs with their people to their home. It's very common in the healthcare side, especially with clinicians and doctors and stuff like that. I'm starting to see that pop up a little bit in other enterprises as well. It's not as common as healthcare, but I do believe that there is going to be a trend towards that, where the Wi-Fi in your people's home, in your worker's home, or in your employee's home is very progressively going to become part of your enterprise network. I think that trend has already started to happen. We haven't reached the tipping point yet, but I believe that, call it in the next 3 to 5 years, this will be a commonplace where you join a new company and you get a laptop and an AP or an AP-like device.
That's what I was wondering about, because companies already give people hardware. So adding in an AP doesn't seem like that much of a stretch. So,
exactly.
So yeah, that's interesting to think about. Let's move on to your recent survey on the retail industry. The world is connected. The store must be too. I know that you're looking at use cases in a lot of industries for Wi-Fi, but it looks like you're really focusing on retail right now.
Oh, that's an interesting question, because there are use cases for every industry, and every industry is going to use it maybe slightly a little bit differently. But when you ask me that, the one that pops up to my mind above anybody else is the retail industry, for a couple of reasons. One, because we have heavy presence in retail, so maybe that's the reason. But we recently conducted, you know, a bit of firsthand or original research in there as well. And in that research, the researchers went out and they talked to, you know, all sorts of retail out there, because retail by itself is not uniform. So there are big retailers, then there are small retailers, there's grocers, then there's like these high-end retailers, you know, you're selling fashion and luxury and stuff. So they all have slightly different requirements. But one thing was absolutely constant across all of them, and that was the need of connectivity in their stores, however they define their stores, right? So be it a coffee shop, or be it a high-end luxury clothing, or be it like a big Kroger, I can say that Kroger store because they are publicly, you know, one of our customers. But connectivity in that store, in that retail location, is really critical. And it's critical for 2-3 different ways. One would think about connectivity in a retail thing. The first thing that comes to mind is providing Wi-Fi to your buyers who are shopping in there, and, you know, coupons and applications and stuff like that. So yes, the consumer experience or the customer buyer experience is really critical to these retailers in that retail store, because they are really competing against those buyers sitting in the comfort of their home and being able to shop online. That's really the competition. How do you bring people out of their living rooms with their iPhones in their hands to these retail locations? So how do you create that experience? So Wi-Fi plays a big role in that one, but that's only one use case. The second use case is, more and more, everything in that retail location is connected. Be it like electronic shelf labeling, be it the point of sale systems, be it like now more and more, be it like cameras, or be it the lights, or be it like different systems that are being controlled, like HVAC systems and this and that and stuff. Everything in a retail location is connected, and a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are connected to using Wi-Fi technology. So that's the second one. And the last one is their operations. I gave the example of grocery. So think about that. You have to have a complete record of the temperature throughout your supply chain and in your store that a piece of poultry or meat or something like that has gone through. Because if you don't have the record, then you don't know what the temperature was, and maybe the temperature spiked out of the comfortable range and stuff like that. So there's all these regulations and health concerns around that. So now think about that they're putting all of these temperature probes, which are mobile in the sense that they move with the product. And now they have to get connected as well. And the technology that is being used is not the wired, but the Wi-Fi technology. So just think about all of these things that connect together and are really the backbone of the business of those grocers. So that, I consider that as a third set of things that need to connect to Wi-Fi. I think operational, right? So there's operational, then there's all these IoTs in the store, and then there's the consumer. I mean, like, the use cases are just unbelievably broad. And we see our retail customers as at the forefront of switching to Wi-Fi 6E and now also thinking about 7 already?
Yeah, I hear a lot about use cases in retail. Shrinkage is a big problem, and they have a lot of smart cameras, and they need a super fast Wi-Fi connection to send the data to an edge processor so that they can analyze it and know to take action before the person leaves the store, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. And think about this. So those kind of applications, like just connecting somebody, okay, we've been doing that since the early days of Wi-Fi, right? And the connectivity just works. But these newer use cases, they really demand more bandwidth or throughput, and more importantly, more reliability. And that's where we have been a huge proponent of Wi-Fi 6E and now 7 as well. And at this point in time, our entire Wi-Fi portfolio is Wi-Fi 6E already, and our Wi-Fi 7 APs are just about ready to get shipped out to our customers who are going to deploy that. I think 6E and 7 really helps with that. And 6E bringing that 6 GHz frequency, that just opens up so much more opportunity, not just in terms of just bandwidth, but in terms of how much interference is available in that spectrum. So 6 GHz is typically a cleaner spectrum, depending on the use case, but in a lot of cases. And now with 7, even a broader channel, like it can theoretically go up to 320 megahertz. That's a lot of throughput for you talked about video and stuff like that. But then I personally am super excited about all the MLO capabilities, so multi-link options, like our ability to now send data across multiple radios, multiple frequencies to the same AP. And might I say in the future, hopefully across multiple APs, maybe Wi-Fi 8, I don't know, we'll see. But those kind of use cases or those kind of technologies really close the gap when you talk about Wi-Fi versus a wired technology or any other technology in terms of reliability. I think those features in Wi-Fi 7 are so critical to deploy these use cases. And I really believe that as Wi-Fi 7 really develops, and maybe in another generation, call it by 7 or 8, I think we'll be hard pressed to find use cases that cannot be done with Wi-Fi and for which you need a different technology. It's interesting. I mean, like, it's just a thought process. I don't know how this will go, but Wi-Fi has come a long way, especially in 6E and 7.
So can Wi-Fi 7 support AR/VR? It's funny because you talked at the beginning about retailers competing with shopping at home. And I think one of the ways that apparel retailers do that is they offer that augmented reality or virtual reality where you can see what the clothes look like on yourself without actually changing into them. And they offer that in right. the store, right? So is that something that Wi-Fi can support?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, already is, a lot of it is. Exactly to your point, if you go into different apps from different retailers, some of them already have those capabilities built into it and you are using it on your good old black box or a big box kind of a Wi-Fi. So that already works. But now start thinking about a little bit more demanding AR/VR examples. So think about some of the newer AR/VR sets that are happening. They are more and more now disconnected. There used to be a point where you needed to connect it to your computer to get all of the bandwidth and all of the experience, but Apple just came out with their latest one that's Wi-Fi based. I mean, obviously, they are the ones that typically are very worried about the experience of the end user. So if they believe that this all can be done on Wi-Fi, then obviously they have done their work. What we are seeing on the enterprise use cases is that, yeah, absolutely. Video, AR, VR, some of these applications that even call it like even in the days of Wi-Fi 6, they were like, oh, if you're running these use cases, you better have a wired connection. That used to be the place where you start with. And I've seen that in the last 3 years, that has changed to where the default answer is this will work on Wi-Fi. And then it is like, oh, if it doesn't work, then you look into it. And I believe that that trend will continue. More and more bandwidth hungry applications, as well as applications that are very dependent on the latency and the jitter and the reliability of the underlying connection, they are more and more going to run on Wi-Fi and they'll run perfectly fine. And we'll be able to deliver more amazing experiences to the end user because nobody likes to be tethered with a wire. So once you make the mobile through this Wi-Fi, I think the next 3 years or so are going to be phenomenal in terms of the new use cases that'll happen.
Great. Your company is big in sports venues, concerts, all of that. What do you see for Wi-Fi 7 there?
Yeah, so look, you're absolutely right. We're very big in venues and stuff like that, be it sports stadiums or like these big theme parks and stuff like that. So, you know, wherever people congregate, I describe it that way because it's not just sports, but, and we have had a lot of experience in there. I would say at this point in time, more than a dozen years, like a couple of decades almost. And the broader use case there is really providing connectivity to spectators that are sitting in the stadium, in the stands. And that has been the main use case. But what we are seeing is that there is now more and more use cases that are moving towards Wi-Fi. So first was like, oh yeah, if I can provide the connectivity to my spectators, at least they feel like they're connected. But now we know we are also the providers of analytics, official providers of analytics for, you know, a lot of these leagues out there. And we know when a big game happens, there's like 50, 60, 70, sometimes 80 terabytes of data that the spectators are moving during that span of 2-3 hours from the stadium using the Wi-Fi. And at this point in time, that is not just good to have. Believe it or not, if that person cannot post about that on their favorite social media app, whatever that happens to be, that causes an actual degradation in their experience. And at that point in time, they might as well just sit home and watch the game. It's that important, right? I'll give you this one anecdote and you'll find this funny. We have just kind of moved on to the other side. You know, I grew up in London. I went to school there. So we have Man U, Manchester United, and that's a big stadium for us as well. And the first time they turned on our Wi-Fi, it was really funny. If you looked at the tweets from the fans, and there were tweets like, oh my God, I don't know how my team is doing, but at least the Wi-Fi is working, right? It was just so interesting to see that how important that connectivity is to people. But that's not the only use case. We have these operational use cases as well, right? So we have like, okay, everything in the stadium is also connected, you know, directing people to the right concession stand or into the right bathroom line and blah, blah, blah. But those use cases have been around for a while. Now what we are seeing is that there are other use cases that are developing. So analytics related to behavior of the customers, you know, how they're doing, what applications they're using, in-stadium betting, those kind of things, even applications related to live media, like, and then even related to things like those virtual automated umpires in like various different things. I don't know what these are called in baseball. I'm more of a football fan or a tennis fan. but these kind of technologies, they are more and more getting used on Wi-Fi. Now, the question could be like, well, how are these applications better on Wi-Fi 6E or 7? And the answer to that is, first, that 6 gigahertz actually allows you to do a certain level of isolation on these applications. So you can have your spectators who are connecting to TikTok or whatever be on 2.4 and 5 gigahertz, and you can use the 6 gigahertz frequency for all of these applications, which you can deem as mission critical. There are things like that. And then
wait, TikTok's not mission critical? Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, think about it this way, right? I mean, if you are running a game, and some of the calls are based on the connectivity, then that's pretty mission critical, right?
Right.
In that context, of course, right? We're not saving lives there. But that's a huge advantage of these technologies. And we are starting to see people do that. And with MLO, I believe that various different, there's like 3 modes of MLO, right? But all of these modes, they just continue to add to that underlying reliability. Now, the way I think about it is like, you know, we have to think about an analogy. Like, think about when we put Wi-Fi in TVs. That was not that long ago. But once Wi-Fi were put into TV, what did that do? Like, that completely, or that was one of the reasons why the way we actually consume media completely changed. Instead of plugging that cable from your cable box, now the TVs are all of a sudden disconnected from wires, and that gave rise to this, or contributed at least to this massive, you know, streaming world and stuff. So that's an analogy that I think of. Now, when you disconnect more and more things, or disconnect from wires essentially, and you provide them more reliable and more bandwidth available Wi-Fi to them. We don't even know the use cases that will get enabled in the next 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, but we are building that network through this Wi-Fi that can provide the reliability and the bandwidth to whatever you want to run on that. And I think this is the first time I feel with Wi-Fi 7 that we are at a place where we can say, yeah, you can put anything you want on the Wi-Fi network, and a lot more times than not, it will work and satisfy your requirements. I think that's a big change.
Yeah, it's no longer best efforts, and it's definitely, I think, giving private 5G a run for the money as well. So lots to look forward to.
My favorite topic, I get asked about that all the time, right? I was actually at Mobile World Congress, I was speaking there, and everybody asked me, or a lot of people asked me about like this 5G versus Wi-Fi. And look, the reality is that that's the wrong question. It's not a 5G versus Wi-Fi, it's a 5G and Wi-Fi, and Ethernet, and LoRa, and Thread, and satellite. And this also talks to the ethos of Extreme. At Extreme, our mission is to connect everybody. Connect people, application, and devices securely, and no matter where they are. And in order to do that, an enterprise can never rely on just one connecting technology, on a night connection technology. It'll always be wired. It'll be Ethernet, it'll be fiber, it'll be Wi-Fi, it'll be 5G, it'll be, you know, satellite or what have you. Tomorrow, I don't know, there'll be something else. But the idea there is use the best technology to provide not only the experience that you want to provide, but also within the cost envelope of what is available. And when you put these two things together, people who think about that other technologies will steal away stuff from Wi-Fi, I think they should be a little bit more practical than making those statements. But in the end, at Extreme, we are very open. All technologies are welcome. We believe that Wi-Fi is and will continue to be the predominant way in which people will connect and consume applications. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
All right. Nabil Bukhari, CTO at Extreme Networks. Thank you so much for being here on The Signal. This has been really a nice conversation.
Martha, thank you so much for having me here. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Well, we'll have to have you back again soon. For now, that is our show. Don't forget to check the show notes for more resources, and be sure to follow The Signal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. And of course, at the Wi-Fi Alliance. That's y-fi.org. I'm Martha DeGrasse. Thank you so much for listening, and join us next time on The Signal.